we forget how to take care of ourselves when we get really, really busy. We mm-hmm. ignore what's going mm-hmm. on inside of our bodies, mm-hmm. or we were never taught that we can take care of ourselves. So we're bypassing the whole situation by those negative coping skills because mm-hmm. drugs and alcohol and overworking and overexercising are easier than dealing with the matter at hand.
Welcome, everyone, to podcast number 190, Renew Your Mind. With us today, we have Senior Pastor Paul Grunberg. We have our Youth and Family Director and Contemporary Band Leader, Jordan Kettlewell. We have retired Pastor Barry Sweet, who loves being retired. We have Pastor Jeremy Tarrou. We have special guest Jesse Thompson. And myself, Dana Hall, is the moderator. And we're going to jump right in, and this is part two of Open Your Eyes, so mental health in the Christian world. So I think Jesse's going to give us some, well, you want to take us back really quick, and then I think you're going to give us some tips.
Can I summarize last week?
Sure.
So I would say that we all suffer. We don't always need a counselor, but we need each other.
Beautiful.
Awesome. All right, that's the end of the podcast.
All right. Okay.
No, one of the things, this whole idea of suffering and not getting any release because we're stuffing it down. One of the things we've talked about is like we should all be happy. We all wear masks of happiness, you know, the big smile. But Jesus said we're going to suffer because of Him. Mm-hmm. We're going to take on the naysayers of the world. I think part of suffering is just being lost. Mm. We're not sure what we should be doing or who we are, and we get lost. Jesus wants us to find Him. Mm-hmm. You know, I said jokingly about how Jesus is the answer for everything, and I really do believe that. That if we go to Jesus, He can bring about healing. Sometimes that means He brings about people in our lives that we can talk to, that we can unburden ourselves. Jesus talks about being yoked with us. His burden is light. His way is easy. He takes on our burdens if we walk with Him, if we are allowing ourselves to unburdened to Him, and we don't, and that's a problem. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that leads to unhealthy coping. Mm-hmm. So how best do we find healthy coping?
Mm-hmm. Well, as you were talking, I was thinking of half-brain Christianity mm-hmm. and how I was there for a while when it came to, like, yes, take your stuff to the Lord, believe in Jesus. So cognitively, I know, okay, God, You're there. I believe in You, I guess. Like, this is where I was at in the beginning of my mm-hmm. faith journey. But to do a whole brain approach is to bring my heart into it also and believe with my heart. Believe, not just know, but believe mm-hmm. and have a relationship, which I had no idea what that was until He met me. It, like, right where I was at in the lost and the suffering and the mm-hmm. broken and the looking for, you know, love in all the wrong places and for saving in all the wrong places. But until I believe with my whole heart, mm-hmm. did transformation happen right. for me. And I can see that in the church and in the Christian circles, like, where people are at. Are you logically knowing, or are you wholeheartedly?
Mm-hmm. So what would be some signs of unhealthy coping? What would you look for somebody mm-hmm. who's not coping well?
Well, it's pretty obvious in some things. So there's overt coping. We are, first, I'll just say, the U.S. is ranked the number one addicted. And mm. then most
alcohol and
yes,
drugs.
The number one addicted country when it comes to just functioning. And so this goes back to us dismissing things. And mm-hmm. so what I see in the counseling room a lot are people who are controlling, So there's a lot of like areas where they're trying to control. They're trying to overwork. So sometimes that shows up in just being at work all of the time, controlling their food intake. So it can show up in a lot of different eating disorders. Control in terms of being perfect. So trying to have perfectionist tendencies, like getting perfect grades. And sometimes the kids in school who are like valedictorians, sometimes you just got to watch, okay, who are you striving for? What is going on there? So that's some of the more overt things. And then more covert, more that are more difficult to see, are just manipulating relationships, manipulating people. And that can look like people pleasing, like trying to earn people's love by pleasing. Then there's there's more obvious signs too, the alcohol, drinking, using drugs, and there's self-harm.
Exercising. You can over-exercising.
Yes. Yep.
But Jesse, those are all the things that I was told ever since I was a kid. Gotta eat right. Mm-hmm. You gotta get good grades. You gotta work really hard.
Mm-hmm. So. Are you firstborn?
I was so a firstborn.
Yeah. Me too.
I'm like, okay, check. Okay.
So those are the things we pass on down. I mean, I had a son who was valedictorian, and it just drove him crazy in a way that was almost unhealthy.
Mm-hmm.
He was good. He's smart, you know, had all of the brain cells that you need to be really smart and stuff. Mm-hmm. And in college, it created a storm for him. And, you know, he had to weather that storm as well.
Mm-hmm.
But that's that firstborn. When people start talking to that, I think firstborn tendencies are overachievers.
Yeah.
Doing the kinds of things. And that only comes about because parents are wanting their kid to be perfect. Mm-hmm. And it's
My
not
parents
until
never said a word, though.
How did they behave? Because that's what kids pick up on, not our words. Yeah. But
and so Jordan's the saying. Youngest one tends to be really easygoing because parents have learned how to relax. Their kids are not going to fall apart if they're not on them all the time to be perfect.
Mm-hmm. Depending on how many siblings they have, they may have finally just resigned to like, okay, I'm just not going to be able to compete. I'm just going to be me. You know, but for real, like, you know, my youngest, he's, you know, I think this is the case for all of the, you know, if there's multiple siblings, the youngest kid, like always trying to like really try hard to compete with older brother, older sister, whatever. And then after a while, you know, ideally, and this is what happened with my youngest, like he finally went, okay, my oldest brother is so much older than me. There's no way for me to compete with him in this. I'm just going to find out who I am, and developed his own very unique personality that was separate from everyone else. But you're right. He's also a lot more laid back because by the time you get to the fourth one, you know, you're not as terrified of everything all the time because you got a little bit of parenting experience.
And you watch the mistakes your brothers, in this case, have made.
Yeah.
So you try to avoid them.
Yep.
So you've got these unhealthy coping. What are healthy coping mechanisms to put in place?
Well, is that what you have a person do? I mean, maybe you don't have them immediately go into a healthy coping. I mean, what do you suggest?
Well, self-regulation is the first thing we work on.
Self-regulation?
Self-regulation, okay. Which is a term that's just used to describe to calm down your nervous system, to be regulated, to be well, so that you can function. So those are the simple things.
Okay, hold on.
Yeah.
You're talking way above my head.
Mm-hmm.
Self-regulating would be practically, in what practical terms, how do you self-regulate? So is that just backing off not eating or backing off exercise if you're or overworking? Whatever you're overdoing, you begin to do what?
Well, let's back up a little bit. So, right, the ability to regulate is a tool we learn from our parents when we're first born. So this is something, it's called co-regulation at first. It's when we are in a state of distress and we get comfort for that distress. So in the very beginning, we see when babies are born, it is really stressful for them. They're coming out of the most perfect environment with the perfect temperature, the perfect sounds, the perfect light. into a world that's like really cold, really loud, really bright, and really confusing, mm-hmm. with a lot of different faces, and it's overwhelming. So what are they doing? Crying. So they're freaking out. Mm-hmm. They have no tools to calm their bodies down. So the first thing doctors usually do is place the baby on mom's chest because that's familiar. Mm-hmm. They recognize heartbeat, her smell, her warmth. Mom's body is biologically created to warm the baby and to make the baby regulated. And so this is the beginning of co-regulation, where it's really uncomfortable and really scary out here, but there's tools in the world to help bring me comfort. So this is temporary. Mm-hmm. And as long as that continues through life, this is called attachment. And it's also referred to, as attachment therapists call, like the dyadic dance between baby and caregiver. So it should continue to be like, I move, I come along. I'm sad, I comfort. You're cold, I bring you warmth. Continues through life. This is a dance. And this is where we learn that our sense of self, we matter, we have needs, all the things. So as we get older, we learn to self-regulate. Okay, I'm hungry. Well, I can just open the fridge and get some food. I'm cold. I can go get a blanket. We forget how to take care of ourselves when we get really, really busy. We mm-hmm. ignore what's mm-hmm. going on inside of mm-hmm. our bodies. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Or we were never taught that we can take care of ourselves. And I would like argue to say, in our day and age today, nobody has coping skills. Nobody can problem solve. I hear this a lot. There's a lot in organizations, at schools, at different agencies. No one can problem solve. No one can figure out how to bring comfort to themselves. So we're bypassing the whole situation by those negative coping skills, because mm-hmm. drugs and alcohol and overworking and overexercising are easier than dealing with the matter at mm-hmm. hand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chocolate.
Yeah. Ice cream.
Yeah. Ice cream.
Late night.
Comfort stuff. Comfort movies.
Right. Yes. Mm-hmm. I follow a ministry by John Eldridge called Wild at Heart, and he talks about the difference between relief and restoration. Mm-hmm. So those things like chocolate and over alcohol and overworking, they might give us relief for a time, mm-hmm. but it's not restoration mm-hmm. with a lasting impact. Mm-hmm. And I'm also thinking about, we talked a few podcasts ago with you about the window.
Yeah.
And so does self-regulation have to do with coming back into your window of...
Correct. It's all related because the window of a baby is really small. There's mm-hmm. no tolerance. They don't know. But as we healthily show them how to regulate, the window gets wider and wider and wider. So now I can withstand a lot of stuff because mm-hmm. I have a lot of room to move. But this requires self-awareness first and... knowing who you are in the world and your identity and sense of self. But that all comes from those first early childhood attachments.
And that's why childhood is so important.
Yes.
And you can just imagine when children are neglected, what just the devastating impact that has on their ability to regulate as they get older.
Neglect has a more profound impact on kids than abuse, physical abuse.
Because abuse, you're getting some...
attention,
even mm-hmm. though it's negative. Kids will take negative abuse more so than neglect, because at least there's interaction.
They are noticed,
yeah,
whether mm-hmm. that's bad or not. Mm.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I think now, what are some good techniques?
Okay, so the first, I don't know if I talk about this in a previous podcast, but this is the first exercise I have everybody do, is just sitting prayerfully. We did talk about this a little bit, but just like when you start to notice that something's off, just pause and to give it a number. So there's this scale. We see it at the doctor, 0 to 10. Where are you at? 0 is you're at peace, and 10 is you are freaking out. Where are you at on this scale? Noting that if you're at a 5 or higher, you've already been ignoring your body in some way throughout the day. So whether that's you didn't eat, you didn't sleep, you didn't drink enough water, you didn't stop to go to the bathroom. I don't know if you've ever seen one of your kids, like, they're just so crabby, and it's because they have to go to the bathroom. Just simple things where we tend to ignore our body. So we're giving it a number, but then we're naming it. And this is a prayerful tool. Like, Lord, what is this? Like, what is this feeling that I'm having? And then you're asking, where is it coming from? What caused it? Mm-hmm. And then you're asking, what would bring it comfort? So the Holy Spirit can guide us. Like, yeah, you need to go to the bathroom. Yeah, you need to go get something to eat. You need to do some deep breathing. You need to go outside. And then the last step is to go do it. Like, go advocate for yourself. But the biggest piece of this is tuning into that scale. Because when you get to the five and up is when we tend to sin the most, when we're really nasty to other people. So that's the first step. And then part of that is finding those things that do bring comfort. So you have a toolbox. Mm-hmm. It's scripture. It's prayer. We talked about this now. It's, you mentioned being outside, playing sports.
Going for a long walk.
Yeah, going for a walk. And then having your three 3 a.m. people. So three people, you know, you could pick up the phone at 3 a.m. and call. And it's just three because if the first two aren't available, you have options.
Okay.
I want to ask something. I don't know where you land on this, so this might be controversial or upsetting. And if so, I apologize. But one thing I've noticed, you mentioned self-awareness a few minutes ago. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, and I'm no professional in this arena by any stretch, but I feel like self-awareness is also a huge step within those. And I don't know where it would land in the time frame as far as like trying to help somebody work through this kind of stuff. But one thing I've noticed in, you know, working many years in law enforcement, having kids, and, you know, of course, when you have kids, you meet other kids because your kids have friends, is there is a staggering lack of self-awareness and accountability in the world. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying this as an attack on the mental health field, but part of it, I think, is that over-awareness. You said it, you know, we overreach to an extreme in the secular world on the mental health side. Mm-hmm. And I feel like there's a lot of that that's created a culture of, well, if I can find the cause, then that means it's not my fault. So as long as I can blame something else or someone else, then it's not my fault. And that's like the exact opposite of how I was raised, and that's the exact opposite of how I think, which whenever I'm confronted with a problem or an issue or I'm struggling with something, the first thing I try to do is boil it down to like, okay, how is this my fault? Now, that also might be to an extreme that's not healthy too, because, you know, I end up taking responsibility and blaming myself for everything. But there's got to be a balance in there somewhere. And
wouldn't we say that passing blame to somebody else, you're not self-aware at that point because you're not owning anything. Mm-hmm. You don't claim anything. Mm-hmm. You can't fix it if you don't claim it. You know, you're not responsible for it.
Right.
So there's a level of a lack of self-awareness in that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I guess my question there is, like how important is that in the mental health like journey, trying to figure out what the problem is? How important is it to embrace our own cross and understand that there are certain things that there, obviously, it's clearly we have some agency and accountability in it also.
It's very important. Yeah. And a good clinician will reveal yourself to you. So it's like holding a mirror up to yourself and being like, this is how you're behaving. This is what I'm noticing. And a lot of the self-awareness activities is like, how are you affecting the people in your home and the wake around you by not eating, by not, you know, there's a sense of responsibility, but then there's grace in this and that, like, where does that come from? So what was modeled to you? What's in your story? So that it's not all blame and shame, but it is a call to action. It's up to you now to make some changes, and here's some consequences if you don't. And we're always identifying relationship patterns, relational wounds that you may have caused because of your story, where you're coming from. Does that answer your question?
It does perfectly. Okay. The way you phrased that was perfect. Not so much a blame and shame, but just a whatever I believe wholeheartedly in that. You got to find the root cause and reason for why you feel this way, why you react this way, whatever it might be. But it's always seemed like there's so much emphasis on that it completely glosses over the fact that, you still have to do something about it.
Yes. Like you're the victim. Right. So it's okay.
Yeah, the victim mentality. Like as long as I'm a victim, I don't need to change anything because I can blame something. And so finding that root cause, understanding what is caused, even if you are legitimately a victim, like even if whatever's happening, like we were talking about child neglect, maybe there was a severe child neglect in the early stages, first, you know, even the like day one for the first 2 years of life, that's going to cause lifelong ramifications. But you still have to do something. You still have to take action. Otherwise,
you'll victimize others.
And you're just going to stay in that place forever.
Yep.
So we just have just a few minutes left. Is there anything else, Jesse, that you want to share with us to take away from this topic? I had a note about we should be aware of our conversations, but I don't really know what that. Is that with others or maybe that means nothing?
Well, I think just another note that I had to when we're healing others and through relationships. So I said in the very first, we're wounded through relationship, but we're also healed through them. In order to do that, we talked about active listening. And so the way we communicate matters. And so if we're going to heal, and you don't need a clinician, but we can do this together, is just mirroring back what people are saying to you. And this goes to parenting too. So if our kids come to us and they're like, I'm so stressed, I have a test tomorrow. And if we're like, it's no big deal, like just study, it'll be fine, right? So then we're dismissing all the things that are going on inside of them, but we're mirroring back like, okay, you're really nervous because you have a test tomorrow. And then we're validating that's really hard. It's hard when we have a lot of homework. It's hard when there's so much going on and we're trying to do our chores. And it is hard. It is hard. And then we're empathizing like when I was in school, I get it. I used to have that happen to me too. So just that little mini, that's with our kids. But we do this with everybody, like listening, mirroring back, validating and empathizing with others can truly heal people's wounds. Because they're being seen, heard, loved, and known, and understood.
That's perfect.
Wow. Well, okay. I think you should come back.
Yes.
We can talk about raising kids, and we can talk about raising ourselves.
Re-raising ourselves. All right. Well, thank you for joining us, Jesse. We just really appreciate it.
So thank you.
And to all our listeners, we come to you from the Gaylord Methodist Church, and we'd love to have you join us in person on Sundays. We have a 9 a.m. traditional service and a 10:45 contemporary service. We also have on the second and fourth Wednesdays, we have a 7:15, a little more informal service that you could join. If you can't come in person, you can view us on Facebook or YouTube. If you have any questions, just call our office at 989-732-5380. You can Google us. We're located on 215 South Church Street in Gaylord, Michigan. So again, thanks everyone for listening. Have a great day.